There are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL draft this year. My name is Ben Solak, and I host the Ringer NFL Draft Show with Danny Kelly, Danny Heifetz, and Greg Horlbeck. We cover trades, free agency, and the draft, which is, obviously. We'll tell you about everything, which includes which quarterbacks are good, which quarterbacks are bad, and which quarterbacks are just Kirk Cousins. That is the Ringer NFL Draft Show. Search the Ringer NFL Draft Show on Spotify.
It's the Ringer's Philly Special, presented by FanDuel. April showers bring a loaded sports calendar, and FanDuel is the place to bet on it all. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and get paid instantly when you win. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Hungry dogs run fast.
It's truly a Philly thing here.
Welcome to the Ringers Philly Special. Sheil Kapadia here, joined by Ben Solak and ace producer Cliff Augustine. Fun one today. I've got 8 questions, prompts, whatever you want to call them, about the Eagles and the first round of the NFL draft. Well, I have one, you know, weird one. We have to do that always. But 7 that are actually about the Eagles and the NFL draft. We're going to do the old format you know and love. Solak's going to pick a number. We're going to answer them, and we're going to cover, I feel like, Solak, every aspect of the Eagles and the first round today. Then next week, we do day 2 possibilities. Week after that, we got to do a little 7-round mock, and then the draft is here. So it's almost here. You must be happy about that.
Myself and DK, who I brought on the show a couple weeks ago, Danny Kelly, does our Ringer NFL draft guide. We both this week like hit our walls. We were just like, dude, do you care anymore? He was like, no. Do you care anymore? And I was like, no. I'm done with all the players. Done talking about it. Please just pick them. I want to go home.
Yeah, it's for me, it's like I'm just cramming. All right, how many takes can I formulate in this smaller window of time? But you've been doing this for much longer. You had your takes ready many, many weeks ago. So that's why I come in. I fire off some nonsense. You say, all right, this is why I want the draft to happen, because Sheil's giving me some nonsense. So that's what this show's going to be about. All right, before we get started, 2 requests. 1, Ringer NFL on YouTube. We're continuing to populate that page with all kinds of stuff. Who knows? You know, I was just messaging with Cliff yesterday. You might see some Philly special clips on there at some point. I don't know. You know, maybe you'll see that. We don't know when. We don't know how, but you could see. So subscribe to that page. We're trying to grow it. You can see Solak and I, our full show from Extra Point Taken, the NFL show we do every week. That full episode goes up there. And then the second thing, Solak, I was just looking at Spotify, of course, the wonderful company we work for. We've
Heard
got 882 ratings for the Ringers Philly Special, which is good. But I'm saying, let's get that bad boy to 1,000. A nice round number.
What's the number overall? Is it
4.8-ish, I want to say. Yeah, somewhere in there. So I want, before, not before. after the draft is completed, I want to, on day three, when Solak and I do our wrap-up show for the Eagles on day three, I want to click into that app and I want to see over 1,000 ratings on that bad boy. Literally takes 10 seconds. You click on the show, you click on the ellipsis, you choose your rating, 5, please, and then you move on about your day. It takes 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. So
you actually, if you click,
this is an easy ask.
If you click anything other than 5, it doesn't work. Like if you click 4, it doesn't, the number doesn't go up.
Actually, I think your phone gets a virus. Yeah, and all sorts of
Tell your mommies, tell your aunties, tell your cousins, tell your friends, tell your uncles, tell your dads, tell your moms, tell whoever, man. Tell your best friends, tell your best friend's best friend, your bestie's best friend, your roommate. You know what I mean? The person you hate.
Any connection you have.
Your gym partner, you know, anybody, man. Your Cliff, local councilman.
I had a youth. I had a high school kid, you know, it was at the Y the other day. He says, oh, it's a pretty open weight room. He said, hey, can you come spot me? I was like, shoot, I haven't had to do this. I mean, I barely had to do it in my life. I'm like, dude, if you can't get that weight up, I'm probably not going to be that much help here. But I went over, I did the fake thing. And I always, the few times I've been asked to do this, I overhelp. Because I'm like, I can't be responsible. This kid's probably not even 18. I can't be responsible for his death. He's looking at me as like a father figure here. And so I overhelp, Cliff. But I've been meaning to tell you that. I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
This is what you do in that scenario, right? So you the point of a spotter is a mental challenge. All it is that you're essentially appearing to help the person, but you're not really helping the person. Don't actually grab the bar. Put your hands underneath it
Put the hand underneath. Yeah. Okay.
But don't actually help lift the bar, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So what you did was did you do that?
I did do that, but the problem is, Cliff, that's what happens most of the time. But if he for some reason was struggling and couldn't get this up, and then all of a sudden I got to react, and like I don't want to be hurting my back or anything in that situation.
No. You go into survival mode. That kid is going to be fine. trust and believe. You will be able to two-hand get that bar up as fast as possible. Fortunately enough, I've never seen anyone actually be hurt in a bench pressing incident. But trust and believe in yourself. That not for nothing, bro. Like. Yo, so like, don't he be lying about how jacked he actually is, yo?
Who? Chill?
Chill, yeah.
Chill is jacked, dude. Chill is stacked.
Absurd.
And acts like he isn't, and then he wears his like dad long sleeve button down shirts. That way it's like, it's not cut to it. I saw Chill in Pittsburgh when he first started working here. Wearing the short sleeve polo at Steelers camp, I was like, "When did this happen?" The guns, dude.
Exactly. I don't know. Well,
yeah, you be shortchanging. Right, you be shortchanging yourself, yo. You
100%, dude.
As you get older, you need to make sure every muscle works. That's the key. When you get to my age,
No.
Make sure
this ain't
every
no muscle
works.
Working. All right, this is the hoodie fitting nice. All right.
Yeah, your muscle work and your diet, and then you be good.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. So I don't know how we got to that, but that was a fun open as always. All right. So, like, let's get to it. I've got these numbered. I sent you the prompts, but I didn't. I randomized the order here, so you don't know what's coming when. Give me a number, 1 to 8, and let's get going. Eagles, first round stuff.
6.
6. Okay, 6. I'm scrolling down. All right. Perfect one to start on, so like.
Yeah, excellent.
Because what is a somewhat realistic first round outcome for the Eagles that you would hate, that you would come on here on Thursday night of the draft and you would just say, oh my God, this team is killing me. How could they do this? Why did they do this? This is the one thing I did not want them to do. What is it? What do you got?
I think they, like a small trade up for Jared Verse, right? The edge rusher out of Florida State, where I would just be like, why? Like, why? Like, we draft Nolan Smith to trade Hassan Reddick, to restructure Josh Sweat, to sign Bryce Huff, to then just move up for Derek Barnett again? Like, he's going to have 6 sacks every year. Great. Like, I don't like, you could be as obsessed with this rotation as you like, but like, we don't need to be spending this much capital to go get, like, the guy who's going to be the third best guy in the room. So that's the thing is, like, I could see them adding edge. I do think they need bodies in the rotation. But there's nobody in this class who's good enough to like really impact the rotation early. And so the only way that I would like, it would make sense if like, oh, someone's like having like a Nolan Smith caliber fall, right? Which like, you know, they went and tried to buy low on Nolan Smith, or if they're taking a guy like day 2, I think like taking any of these round 1 guys super early would surprise me and frustrate me.
So Jared Verse, as you mentioned, edge rusher, Florida State, 6'4", 254, turns 24 in November, started at Albany, then transferred to Florida State. I have only watched clips of Jared Verse, and I am impressed with his power. He has some very fun clips of him just absolutely
underneath a guy,
killing offensive tackles. Like some of my the most fun clips of these first round prospects. But overall, you don't think he has the profile of a high upside guy in the NFL.
I think it's like he's like a perennial like 6 to 8 sack guy. I think he's fine. a nice guy to have in your rotation. But that's for other teams who need guys in their rotation. The Eagles need like real starters at other positions right now.
Okay. Mine is trading up for tight end Brock Bowers. If you listen to Extra Point Taken, you will not be surprised by this take. Last 10 years, 9 tight ends have been taken in the first round, 0 all pros, and 1 combined 1,000-yard season. That was Kyle Pitts as a rookie. And so I could sort of see it. How he's saying, hey, we got Saquon. Let's just build up this offense. Dallas Goedert's getting older. And I don't dislike Brock Bowers as a prospect. I like him quite a bit. He's fun. But as Solek and I discussed, the NFL just has a very hard time evaluating these tight end prospects. The guys they take in the first round have not panned out over and over and over again. And so, Brock Bowers, I look at the profile. He's not the biggest guy, 6'3", 243. He's not going to be like a point of attack blocker like Dallas Goedert. You know, this is a guy you would pick up to be a weapon in the passing game. And I just am skeptical that do you say this? I was on a call with the Ringer editor and they said, as Solak would say, the juice is worth the squeeze. Do you say that a lot?
Love it. Juice is worth the squeeze.
Okay. All right. So now, shout out Lindsay Jones. She nailed it.
Lindsay?
Jones. Yeah.
Listen, here's the thing. The juice has got to be worth the squeeze. If I'm squeezing, I better be getting juice. That's personal philosophy that I live by. Yeah. Here's the thing with the juice being worth the squeeze with Brock Bowers. It absolutely wouldn't be, right? It's your fourth target. You're taking him in the first round. He's also like a tight end. And so like you have to scheme up the targets in specific ways. He's also such a good yak guy. So you have to like really scheme them up and everything like that. Would I come on here and enjoy it a little bit? Yes, absolutely. Why? Because I know it's upsetting you. And that's funny to me. So like I would still.
Well, also, it would be like the Saquon signing where it's like, all right, me and you can come on and be like, yeah, I don't know if this is a great use of resources. But if you're an Eagles fan and you want to be pumped on draft night and you're like, wait, we got Saquon and Brock Bowers and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Jalen Hurts. Like, let's go. So you would be excited about it.
No. Will the tweet of like, who's stopping this offense? It's all their screenshot, all their players. That will go hard.
Yeah. It would be fun. It would be good for content. I will say that. And my daughter Naya got me a team content t-shirt, which I've been wearing, a lot. So I got to wear it for a podcast.
That's a sick gift. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's nice. So it would be good for team content. It's not something I think they should do. All right. What do you got? What's next?
Three. I need to keep track of what I'm doing.
Okay. All right. This is a good one. Because I don't know your actual analysis of this. So I want you to stack the defensive backs, and I think they're all cornerbacks. I don't think there's a first-round safety prospect unless I'm missing someone. So stack the first-round corner prospects from guy you like the most for the Eagles to guy you would like the least for the Eagles. So the guys I am mentioning here are Kerryon Arnold, Cooper DeJean, Nate Wiggins, right?
Yep.
Kool-Aid McKinstry, and who's the guy? Oh, Quinion Mitchell. So those are the guys. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I know you like DeJean from your tweets. I think you like Arnold. I'm going to say you don't like Wiggins. I think Kool-Aid you're going to be higher on than most, and I actually think you told me Mitchell is your CB1. All right, so that's what I think.
Yes.
Okay.
Quinion Mitchell is CB1. If he's in range for Philadelphia, I have no idea how he's fallen that far, but he absolutely unequivocally should not be falling that far. I think Quinion's going to be top 10, top 15 pick. He's number one. Quinion can be a high caliber man cover corner and a high caliber zone cover. It's a really high ceiling. I think Terrion Arnold is two at Alabama, and he's like my two overall for everybody. And I think that he fits Eagles wise. Like I don't think there's much of a movement there. My corner rank is going to be pretty similar. Eagles specific versus team agnostic. I think it's going to be about the same. DeJean's three. DeJean is actually like a guy where you start to say, all right, like clearly an outside guy. Maybe he's a move to safety a little bit. Like that makes sense for the Eagles because they have the space at safety and they have the space at corner, right? And so it makes sense drafting him and saying, okay, we believe that he's going to be a corner. We're going to play him initially a corner, and then. We'll see what ends up happening if they if they start him at safety because they feel like they like their young guys at corner, and then he moves to corner a year after, whatever. Like, the versatility is nice with DeGene. We talked about this with DK on that episode. Kool-Aid is four for me, and I like Kool-Aid. I think Kool-Aid is round one player. It's just Kool-Aid is the second best corner on his own team, right? You kind of got to be honest about the ceiling there. You're drafting him to be a corner two, and that's round one player if he's a starting corner for you. It's just you don't want him against wide receiver ones. And then, yeah, Nate Wiggins is five. Be bigger. Yeah, I didn't like Emmanuel Forbes at 166 pounds to Washington in the first round last year. I certainly not gonna like the 175 pound corner. So Wiggins can move, and he's loose, and he's flexible, and there's a lot to like. I understand the interest in Wiggins, but I simply don't want to be fielding a corner who's that thin, because I have run defense problems and I have losing to size problems, and those aren't going to go away. So that's my worry with him.
Okay, so you went Quinion Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, Cooper DeGene, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and Nate Wiggins. For those who are still getting familiar with some of these names, Terrion Arnold, we're going to talk about in a little bit, because I've got him for one of my answers. He's the corner from Alabama, has drawn some Jalen Johnson comps. Not like the craziest guy physically, athletically, with the testing, with the measurables, but just like solid, well-rounded, does everything well, can help you right away. Quinion Mitchell is from Toledo. And I was thinking about if I would just tell you, if you knew nothing about the draft and I was just like, they're taking a guy who turns 23 in July and played on Toledo corner, you would be like, oh, really? That's who they're taking with their first round pick with the state of this roster? But he dominated at Toledo. Like, you want a guy, if he's not in the SEC, you want him to dominate that level of competition. He did that. And he was a big Senior Bowl guy, right? He was playing really, really well.
Yeah. There. And also, Quinion played Ohio State. You know what I'm saying? Like, we played him against Marvin.
There were some. Yeah. There were some games.
And
not
worked him as incorrect. Fought him to a draw, which is not a small thing. Yeah. Mitchell's the Mac, Ohio, Kent State. There's some passing offenses there. You know what I'm saying? Quinion got tested, right? This is not a nobody on nobody. Now, the Senior Bowl was a big deal for him, and he was unbelievable at the Senior Bowl. And then testing wise, Quinion also hit he's an NFL athlete. No, he hit top tier NFL testing.
Yes.
Quinion is not just a first rounder. Quinion's going to be one of the last first rounders to come out of a group of five school in a long time. Because in most universes, Quinion Mitchell is going to transfer right now with the way the college football is. But there's a wonderful story. I think Zach Kiefer wrote it for The Athletic about Quinion's background and why he just chose to stay at Toledo. And it was very important to him that he stayed in Toledo. But this is a round one dude. This guy would have gone to the Power Five and dominated if that's what he was interested in. I've no qualms about it.
Yeah, he ran 4.33 and he had 44 passes defended the past two seasons to go along with 6 interceptions. So 50 times he's getting his hand on the football. Yeah, which
aggressive
is just
young man. We like Quinion Mitchell.
An absurd number. Let's talk a little Cooper DeGene. I thought I was going to watch Cooper DeGene and love Cooper DeGene based on everybody I talk to whose opinion I respect likes him quite a bit. And I didn't dislike him. I he's he does everything well. There's no doubt he's versatile. Like you said, outside corner, slot, safety. He can play all those spots. Athleticism, his pro day, he was recovered from the injury. He played well. My concern is that the one main thing that I want the corner to do, I didn't get to see that he could do that at an elite level. Just, can you be sticky in coverage? I think he played 60 snaps of man coverage last year. I guess it's called the plant and drive, when you're playing off and you got, all right, it's in front of you, go. I thought I love that with Terrion Arnold. I thought that was his best trade, that I was like, oh my God, how did he get there so quickly? I didn't think that was great with DeGene. So those were some of my concerns. I still like him. I'm just probably not at the top level of, because some people just absolutely love the guy. Those concerns, valid, invalid. What else do you like about him?
Shield dropping a plant and drive.
Isn't that what it's called? Yeah, I really try not to, but I was like, well, that's a good description of what my mind is telling me here.
Yeah. But the thing is, is it called plant and drive? Yes, but it's called every coach is a slightly different, terminology for it. And so it's but yes, DeGene's ability to see the throw and because when you're playing with zone, you're playing with zone eyes, you're playing with your hips into the quarterback. Ability to see it and close down on it is A, really encouraging. B, it's also why so many people like him at safety, right? People are like, oh, he's going to play safety. But he's just really good at feeling space and going and getting connected to the catch point, operating from a zone spot. You brought up the lack of man coverage reps. There are some reps of him in man coverage. They tend to be good. He's got good testing. He's got very clearly good movement skills. He's got good size. Your question is how fleet of foot are you, right? And are you going to be able to not be grabby against the smaller, quicker guys just because he's such a bigger dude? I like him for that. I think that he's going to be able to pull that off. I think that he's going to be able to transition well, because when you see the man coverage reps, they are solid. But you're projecting right now with Kool-Aid McKinstry. I think, you know, the ceiling is kind of low. With Nate Wiggins, you know, that there's an athletic issue. With Jazeem, like the question mark for me is smaller, because A, I've seen him do it. It's just a small sample. And B, if he can't do it, I can get him somewhere else, right? And go play him at safety and feel like that's the transition you can make. And that's why I personally have him ranked above Kool-Aid and above Wiggins, both for the league and for the Eagles.
Wiggins was a guy that I just watched a bunch of his coverage snaps. I think he might be the best cover guy.
This is why people like him, right? It's because
he's round. I'm just so like, sick. Oh my gosh, he's so mirroring, like, just all over these guys in a wonderful way, not in a grabby way. I'm just like, he's awesome. And then I looked at the measurables, which you mentioned, and he's 173 pounds. And I'm usually the guy who says, all right, but if you really look at it, and I looked at like the last 10 years, I was trying to find starting cornerbacks who measured just under 180. So I'm giving him some wiggle room that he, you know, puts on 5 pounds or whatever. It is a really tiny sample. And even those guys, like I'm looking at, so like Asante Samuel Jr., Dante Jackson, Levi Wallace. It's not like those guys are all pros. Like those are just the guys who like had a starting job and played in the NFL. So that probably makes me too concerned to take him in the first round. Now, I will say this. He turns 21 in August. And so if he's one of these guys who you did all your work and you say, you know, he's going to be, he's still growing. He's going to put on weight in the NFL. There is stuff there to like. He plays with a lot of effort. He's not great against the run, but he has like some of those chase down plays that are incredible where you just see his speed. He ran 4.28 on the field. And so like, I probably would not have the cojones to take him in the first round, but I'm kind of rooting for him, or I kind of want to see where he ends up to see if he can be a good player. He's drawn Dominique Rogers-Cromartie comps, which Eagles fans will not like. Even that, though, I was looking at, DRC came in at 184 pounds.
Say, DRC is also the comp that every single skinny corner gets. Every single time someone comes in, oh, man, you know Cam Dantzler reminds me of? Oh, draw Dominique Rogers-Cromartie. It's like, yeah, because he's thin. He's too small.
I don't like the Forbes comp, though, but Forbes I thought couldn't play. Like, I was like, how are they drafting him here? Like, I think Wiggins can play, but the size does concern me. So there you go. All right. Good one. I'm glad we got you on the record with those corners. All right. That was three. What do you got? What's next?
Give me four.
Four. All right. So I got to do the strike through on three so that, all right. All right, I like this one, too. Who are three? I shouldn't say I'm the one who came up with the questions, so I probably shouldn't say.
Like them. Great
question. I should say I'm excited to hear what you have to say is what I meant. Who are three prospects, Solak, who you could see the Eagles trading up for? So I've mentioned this before. Four out of the last 5 years, Howie Roseman saying, nerds, you can stick it where the sun don't shine about your trade back and get volume. I'm trading up. I'm getting my guy, and I'm giving up a day three pick. Not a big deal. Will he do that again this year? Who are three guys who you think he could potentially move up for? Let's do one and one. Let's see if we're on the same page here.
All right. One, Amarius Mims, tackle out of Georgia.
Okay. I think they will like him, but I did not have him here because I had him as an answer to another question, which we'll get to. My one is Terrion Arnold, cornerback from Alabama, who we just talked about. I would be very surprised if Arnold got to them at 22. I think he's a player they will like quite a bit. And so he is my first one. All right, who's two for you?
Yeah, I think Arnold is a good one. I was also thinking about him on this list. If Mims, then also I would say like Olu Fashanu out of Penn State. I could also see them making the move up for him as well. Which, like, but there's so many tackles. So should they be trading up for a tackle? But I could see them doing it. Because the people in front of them need tackles. The Dolphins need tackles, and the Steelers need tackles. So, yes, Olu Fashanu for my number two. Yes.
Okay. I had Fashanu on my just missed the cut list. I had him fourth. I was debating between him and another guy. I put down J.C. Latham, the offensive lineman from
it's a great one.
Alabama. You know, he can play right tackle right away. He can play right guard right away, eventually move to right tackle. They know that Alabama program very well. I like this note from Dane Brugler in The Beast, which everyone should check out. So like,
yeah.
J.C. Latham, do you know what nickname he gave himself?
He gave it himself?
Yeah, he gave himself a nickname.
What is it?
TK for Trench King. How are we feeling about that?
I was thinking like TKO, like total knockout. That's what I thought I was going to go for.
That'd be good too with the way he plays. Yeah, that wouldn't be
Trench
bad.
King, is it like a Tiger King iteration? Is that like, I'm trying to figure out the era.
Maybe.
right? Because that was like COVID, and yeah, it was probably when Lathan was starting to play in college. Like they were saying Tiger King. He's like, I'm the Trench King. I think that's probably where that came from. I like it. I can dig it. I can dig it.
Okay, who do you got? Who's your third one? Bashanu, by the way, was the offensive tackle from Penn State, which Penn State. Is a good one. We'll see how far he falls. I sort of feel like he'll get taken before there. So if they want to trade up to like 14 or so, you're talking about giving up either a future first or two day two picks. That's just what it's been the last few years here, where if you want to make a jump like 8 to 10 spots, basically, from where they are at 22, that's what it's going to cost. And I thought, you know what? Bashanu's probably going to go around, I thought, maybe 14-ish. And so I didn't know if they were going to take that big of a swing. But Lathan could go that high too. So who knows? Yeah. All right.
I think Terry and Arnold is the best third one, right? Because I think that they're going to be in DeGene range. They're going to be in Wiggins range. They're going to be in Kool-Aid range. I think Arnold's going to go, like, I'm looking 15 at the Colts. Like, I feel like is the right sort of spot for Arnold's floor. And so to me, like, I would say Arnold is a good third one. I mean, I'm going to steal yours.
Yeah, that's one where like the measurables could kind of work in their favor. Like he's 6 foot, 189, and he ran 4.51. Like if he's better, you know, if he's a little bit higher in those, he's probably, there's no chance of him falling at all. But maybe that will cause some teams to say, all right, he's not like a top 10 guy. Let's let him drop a little bit. So last guy I had was Talisa Fuaga, right?
Just Talisa Fuaga.
Okay. Talisa Fuaga, the Oregon State offensive lineman, 6'6", 324, played right tackle, great run blocker, could play guard. Between those guys, Bashanu, Lathan, Fuaga, how do you think they go off the board in the first round, if you had to say right now?
I think Fuaga goes, then Lathan goes, then Bashanu.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So if you look at FanDuel right now, the expected first offensive lineman off the board is Joel out of Notre Dame. The second behind him is Talisa Fuaga, who's plus 280. I'm pulling him up right now. Yeah. Joe Alt minus 290. Oh, excuse me. Joe Alt minus 290. Fuaga plus 650. Olufoshana is plus 700. JC Lathan is plus 1200. I think the league likes Lathan a lot more than people realize. Lathan is like good. Yeah. Lathan is
And he's like a football guy's football guy.
And he's just so steady. Yeah. And he's plug and play right tackle. Fashanu is like, oh, like in a year or left tackle, whatever. Fashanu is more like on the Emarius Mims scale. Like, let's draft the guy, let's see what he is, develop him, you know, for a year, whatever. Fuaga and Lathan are like, put him at right tackle, play, win, GGs. Like that's more so what you're looking at there. He's I like Lathan a lot.
There you go. All right, let's take a quick break. Come back and get to the rest of these questions. Get in on all the NBA buzzer beaters, ankle breakers, and tomahawk jams with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. What do we got? Sixers Magic? Friday night? Suddenly this last weekend in the NBA season? So many possibilities. Maybe you take the Sixers to cover that game. Maybe you do an emotional hedge and say, I want to feel good even if they blow it here in the last weekend, and you take Orlando. You can do whatever you want. The app is easy to use, and there are so many different ways to bet, like live same game parlays. Find bets in the new Explore tab. Make a parlay in the Parlay Hub, the best way to find popular parlays and more. So visit FanDuel.com/RingerPhilly and make your first bet a layup. FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. First online real money wager. Only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
All right, we are back on the Ringers Philly special. Looks like you got 1, 2, 5, 7, and 8 left.
I've got it dialed in. Yeah. Okay. I would like 7.
I usually forget to keep track. So that's why I was, you know, this time I'm like, all right, I guess I could keep track here. All right. Who are the three prospects you could see them still landing if they trade back? So again, this isn't something you would think Eagles analytics. Oh, no, this is something they've done a lot of. But I actually feel like if we look at the past, maybe 3, 4, 5 years, this feels to me like a year where they potentially could do that more so than other years, just because of the way I feel like the draft might fall. I could be wrong about that, but who do you think? Let's go one by one again. Who's the guy they could land if they trade back out of 22?
Kool-Aid is the first name that comes to mind. I think
first
Kool-Aid,
one on my list too, Kool-Aid.
I think Kool-Aid's just going to be right. There's always a corner every year who goes 30 overall, and I feel like this year it's Kool-Aid McKinstry, right? Like that just makes sense to me. I think that he's going to be the sort of player they prefer over Wiggins. I think he fits their profile. So McKinstry is number one for sure. Kingsley Suamatia out of BYU is the offensive tackle. He's my favorite of the developmental guys. Once we start getting to the fringe round one, the way that the league talks about the tackle class, I think that he's going to be that late round one guy over like a Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma, out of a Jordan Morgan over Arizona. I think Suamatia is the most desirable of the group's next 5-star recruit. He was at Oregon, transferred to BYU, played a year on the left side, a year on the right side. All the developmental traits you want. He's Penei Sewell's cousin, which he doesn't move like Penei Sewell, but just say that. And then you're like, I see, close enough. So Kingsley Suamatia out of BYU, I'd say it'd be the second one. When you start thinking about those developmental tackles they might take.
All right. I like both those. Yeah, Suamatia, the more I look, I'm like, I could see him definitely. EJ and I think talked about him last week as a guy definitely who could fit the profile of someone the Eagles could like. I don't see anywhere that says, you know, you would take him at 22. So I think that's a good one. You trade back. Maybe you still get an offensive tackle you like more than the other guys. And then with Kool-Aid, you mentioned it, but you know, Dane Brugler's comp for him was James Bradbury, which I thought was pretty interesting there. He had 2022 McKinstry, led the SEC in passes defended, wasn't targeted as much last year, didn't have as good of a year. Like you mentioned, Terry and Arnold passed him, but high football IQ, started for Nick Saban as a freshman. He's someone I think they could like. My second guy, what about Chop Robinson? So like I think back, I think I asked you way back, like, hey, give us 5 guys just to know. And he was one of the names you mentioned back then. Since then, I don't know that he's been mentioned a lot in connection with the Eagles. Edge rusher from Penn State will be a 21-year-old rookie. Excellent athlete. Production was not massive. 9.5 sacks, 17.5 tackles for loss the past 2 seasons. Is he redundant with Nolan Smith? Is he like a guy worth gambling on the end of the first round because he's got that upside? Where are you now that you've done kind of more work on everybody in the first round with Chop Robinson?
Yeah, when I brought up Chop, I thought it was a late round one guy. It was all first step. Kind of, you know, you're gonna try to build something around that, right? If you like a Hassan Reddick, if you like a Nolan Smith, if you like a Bryce Huff, you're gonna like a Chop Robinson. You're gonna believe that profile is gonna work for you. I think the more the process has gone on, I think the league's gotten more to the point where they're like, okay, like, and maybe we'll take him, like, you know, end of round one, beginning round two. But I don't think there's, like, a ton of enthusiasm. The way the guy ran, if teams thought he was, like, a top 10, top 15 guy, then they should be, like, screaming that from the rooftops. You know, he's going to be one of the first edges off the board. He's very clearly considered to be in the second tier of edge rushers. He's not in the Dallas Turner, Latu, Jared Verse tier. That's tier one. He's much more so in, like, the Darius Robinson tier, a kid out of Mizzou. And that's kind of your end of first, beginning of the second round. So if they take him, they're just making the Nolan Smith bet again. And they're saying, right, if we liked Nolan Smith, we think that was a good roll of the dice, then we should like the roll of the dice on Chop Robinson, put the two of them out there, see who does what, right? See who's able to compete and contribute for us. So to me, it's a, I could see them taking the swing. I'm not going to come on here and be like really stoked about it unless it's a pretty substantial move back. Cause I just don't think that I think Chop's a dice roll the same way Nolan was.
And it's worth, you know, we always look at immediate needs, but next year, Josh Sweat is no longer under contract. And Brandon Graham is probably retired. So I know you just signed Bryce Huff, but like there are spots up for grabs there. If you say, all right, Bryce Huff, Nolan Smith, and an edge that we draft this year, I could see them talking themselves into a move like that. All right, who's your third guy?
I want to come up with somebody like sexy and cool. Like, oh, what a crazy name. I got like nothing. Who's your third?
I've got Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, who I think you're not as high on. You don't like him as much. You're just worried, what, a little too slight for you? What did they say? Sand in the pants? Is that what they, is that a term? On, or did I just, okay.
He's on stilts. He's just, he's too light in the lower half, not enough sand in the pants. You said it right, man. I mean, I don't want that tackle. I want somebody who's got a little bit more mass to him. Now, Oklahoma, Lane, you know, who knows, maybe.
Yeah, Guyton is the guy from Oklahoma, 6'8", 322, a little bit of a work in progress, but kind of toolsy. Yeah, could potentially develop into a really good player. So you would be betting on the traits and betting on the upside there. So I thought, all right, if they trade back, maybe they take someone like that at the end of the first round. So he was my third guy. Anybody else stick out to you?
I mean, like, so could they move back into the beginning of the second round and take like a linebacker? Like you get to Edgerrin Cooper, Texas A&M range, Junior Colson out of Michigan range.
Surprising.
Yeah, move back in the top of the second round and go for a safety. Are we starting to get to Caleb Bullock out of USC range or get to Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota range?
Of the wide receivers? Any of the wide receivers who you say, all right, if they trade back and are just like best player available, like an A.D. Mitchell, a Ladd McConkey, anybody like that you could see them?
It's the same theory as Brock, right? You're going for target four, spending the 40th overall pick, the 35th overall pick on target four. That's weird. Yeah. I don't know. I think like here's the very frustrating answer. I'll give you my Eagles trade scenarios single line. If they're trading up, that's for one of the tackles. If they're trading back, it's for one of the tackles. If they're staying, it's because there's a tackle there they like. But that's this class, right? It's just like it at the top, it's just, oh, go get Amarius Mims, go get Olu Fashanu, and then you're at your pick, get Troy Fontenot, get Graham Barr, and you move back, go get Kingsley Sumatia, go get Tyler Guyton. Just so many offensive linemen. And so, like, there's no way to get, like, a fun third pick, right? Like, Jordan Morgan out of Arizona, there. Like, if they take Jordan Morgan at 31 overall, I think that's good value for Morgan. I think he's a good developmental prospect. Take over for Lane in a year. I think that's excellent. There you go. Jordan Morgan out of Arizona. But there's just 19 different names at offensive line. And so it's at any point, moving up, moving back, it could be for one of those guys.
Yeah, so if they've got all those guys in the same tier or whatever, maybe they think, all right, let's move back and let's draft somebody else. All right, there you go. That was if they trade back some options. All right, what do you got? What's next?
I'll give me number one. It's time.
Number one. Okay. This is the long one for you. Stack the first round offensive line prospects for the Eagles. In terms of who, it's actually good, but it builds off what you just said. In terms of who you would like most for them. And so I'm going to give you a second to do that. But also I want to know your thoughts, Sola, because I talked about this on the Solo Weekend in Review pod. The idea of taking an offensive tackle only player in the first round, a guy like Amarius Mims, where you say, all right, this guy doesn't have versatility. He could be the best offensive lineman from this class, but there's not a path to him getting on the field unless Lane Johnson or Jordan Mailata gets injured. How would you feel about that? We come on the pod Thursday night. They stayed at 22. They take Amarius Mims. You're looking at his role. How do you feel about the idea of taking someone like that?
I don't hate it. It's gonna be who's the player, right? It's gonna be, do I like the guy or not? It's gonna be the difference there. I'll say this. I was talking with somebody about this earlier this morning. There is no way the Eagles, with the way that Howie Roseman thinks about football and the way that Jeff Stoutland thinks about football, there is no way they like their OT3 right now, right? They might like Fred Johnson, but there's no way that they right now are like, woo, OT3 is great, right? Just in terms of like, if you're projecting Tyler Steen to be the starting right guard and Jack Driscoll leaves him in free agency for the Miami Dolphins, there's just no way right now you're sitting there with Fred Johnson and LaRaven Clark as battling for your OT3 and you're like, yes, this is reflective of how we like to build a team. It just isn't. So they unequivocally want to improve OT3. Now, I think given the Driscoll selection and given the Tyler Steen selection, you can argue that the way they'd like to improve tackle three is by taking a guy somewhere between rounds 2, 3, and 4 who is a tackle, college tackle who swings into guard. And that's why we've talked about our Troy Fontenot out of Washington, our Graham Barton's out of Duke, two players that I think they might really, really like in round one. But that's a sample size of 2, right? And so they might go and say like, hey, no, like we think tackle's a little bit more dire just because Lane's getting older and he's getting hurt more often. So we're going to actually gear this thing up. And instead of trying the round 3 dart throw, we're going to go for round 1 of Amarius Mims. I think that would be defensible. So it's going to come down to who the player is for me. Because if they do it, I don't think it's like perfect. But if they get Mims, I'm going to be thrilled because I love him. If they get Guyton, I'm going to be devastated because I don't like him.
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it. That's how I feel. Like, I need to see who did they take and who else was available. It's not something like I do see the downside of it where you're like, oh, God, there's no path to this guy getting on the field for maybe the next two seasons. And that kind of sucks when you have a first round pick and you have a Super Bowl window. You kind of want someone to contribute before then. But I also see it as, hey, if it's the best player available, it's a premium position. Like you said, you fill a need at offensive tackle 3 and you go from there. So ideally, like you said, someone who can play guard and tackle, that's a win. Or you get someone later in the draft that you really like. I mean, isn't that the part of the point of having Jeff Stoutland, that you can take a guy on day 2 or day 3 and say, no, they're going to be fine as a swing tackle, as a rookie, he's going to develop them. But it doesn't always work out that way. Tyler Steen,
there
you
are guys
even mentioned.
Yeah, there are the Yale kid, Kieran Amagaje. I like Javon Foster out of Mizzou. I think it's a good development. Patrick Paul out of Houston is a good developmental tackle. There are dudes. Like, this tackle class is loaded at the top, and it's deep down the stretch. Rosengarten, the Washington kid, they're going to love that kid. There are guys, and this is the round 1 pod. We're going to do the day 2 pod a little bit later. But there are guys. If they're like, we want to do our Jack Driscoll thing again, do our Tyler Steen thing again, there's dudes for them.
So maybe, yeah, and that goes back to the trade back thing. Maybe this is a year where you trade back and take a couple dart throws later in the draft and try to get somebody. All right, I've bought enough time for you. First round offensive line prospects, rank them for who you like most for the Eagles and who you like least for the Eagles.
One is Joe Alt. He's the best player in the class. He starting left tackle.
Not going to be there. Yeah, he's kind of like a cross off. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Number 2 for the Eagles, I think, is probably J.C. Latham in terms of how I grade the players.
Interesting.
Where I have Fashanu who is tackle 2, but I have Latham as tackle 3, and it's pretty close. And I think Latham just has played on the right side, and the Eagles, they gave the Jordan Mailata extension. They're very clearly, if they think about tackle, thinking about the right side of the line, I think Latham's probably a little bit better for them. So I put Latham at 2 and Olu Fashanu, the Penn State kid, at 3. I'll tell you, they get Olu Fashanu at 22, I'd be stunned. But they get Olu Fashanu at 16, I'm going to come on here, streak and, swinging my shirt around my head. Like, that's a good day in the office. Fashanu is a...
Can he play guard as a rookie, potentially? Maybe. No.
I don't.
Hasn't like, done it. Certainly has yeah, not done
hasn't
it.
Hasn't done though. It. So the guard.
But he's not 6'8 either. So.
Yeah. And let's just make like a general statement. A lot of times when people say he's a tackle, but he can play guard, usually it's like a size thing, right? It's like, oh, he's not like big enough. And so you got to move him into guard, protect his arm length. He's more like 6'3, 310 instead of being like 6'5, 330, right? With the Eagles, right? They will take a tackle sized dude and just put him at guard, right? They'll just Brandon Brooks, the son of a gun. No issues about it, right? They will put a 6'5", 330 pound guy there and feel good about it, right? Landon Dickerson is a tackle sized individual, right? They will just throw him at guard. And so, like Latham, for example, could JC Latham, like when people say, oh, JC Latham might need to play guard, or like maybe he could play guard, what they're saying is he's a little bit heavy footed. He is, right? He's not the most fleetest of foot guy. So he might lose to speed on the outside. That is remarkably different than like Troy Fontenot out of Washington, who I'm about to talk about, but he might need to play guard. That's because he's like undersized. That's because he's smaller, right? He's not gonna have a quickness problem. He's gonna have a size problem, and you might want to protect that on the interior. And so it's always important when people say, "Oh, could he play guard?" You have to investigate what issues with that player are they talking about, right? And then how does that map onto the Eagles? I think the Eagles would have no issue moving J.C. Latham to guard for a year if there's just no spot for him to play at tackle. With Troy Fontenot, I think that they also would feel good moving him to guard because he's got the movement skills for it, but they would use him remarkably differently than they would use Latham if Latham were playing guard, because the body types are different. So, Olu Fashanu at 3. I'll put Troy Fontenot at 4. And this is the left tackle, probably going to be a guard in the league, out of Washington. Excellent mover. This is the guy who Jordan Reed of ESPN tweeted during the combine, that while Jeff Stoutland was running O-line drills, Troy Fontenot was moving. I said, he looked so good on the hoof. He was like, dude, he tweeted, I think, Jeff Stoutland's been staring at Troy Fontenot for the last like 30 seconds. He's been looking at him. Like, oh man, falling in love live in Indianapolis. So I'll put Troy Fontenot there. I'm also going to put at 5 Graham Barton out of Duke. Now, Graham Barton had a little bit less of the, kind of the big, woo, like sexy, exciting run-up that Fontenot did. Fontenot, obviously, you know, national championship playing Washington Huskies team. But Barton is a lights-out athlete, man. Barton's an unbelievable athlete. Played left tackle at Duke. Probably going to be an interior player. Barton absolutely hits all the notes that the Fontenot does. I think most people like Fontenot a little bit better on film. I'm one of them, but it's very, very close. So to me, like, I put Barton there at five. So now we kind of go into
real,
a second.
Real quick on those two guys. Because Fontenot, I think people think, he can play left tackle. He's drawn like the Rayshon Slater comparisons. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've seen anybody who thinks that a team's going to draft Graham Barton to play tackle. Like most people think he's going to move inside to center. I don't know if you agree or disagree with that. But if that's the case, is it worth spending a first round pick on a guy who's going to be, who you're like, interior offensive lineman, unless there's case of emergency and we move him to tackle? Or do you just think he can play tackle?
Are you seeing Graham Barton at center? He's 6'5".
Yeah. I mean, the stuff I've looked at has made him sound like a guy who people think can survive at tackle, but isn't going to necessarily come into the league and play at tackle. Now you've like watched these guys very closely. So maybe you just watched him and thought, no, he can play tackle in the NFL. He's 6'3", 311. I thought I had the arm length here. Doesn't he have short arms? I can't remember.
He's 32 7/8. So he's just below the 33-inch threshold, which is a made up threshold. Barton at center, man. The reason why I asked this is because I saw a little bit of this a couple of weeks ago, and I'm just so totally unconvinced that Barton at center makes any sense. Like, I would play him at tackle before I play him at center. He's too tall. He's too big. I don't want my center to be 6'5", dude. That's huge. I think Barton can play tackle. I think he can play tackle tomorrow. I think that film-wise, he's excellent. But I brought up Barton right after Fontenot, because Fontenot gets all this juice, all this movement skills and this, that, and the other thing. Graham Barton, testing wise, because Barton didn't test it at the combine, he tested at the pro day. You're in a 4.54 short shuttle, 7.33 cone. This is like 90th percentile agility drills for an offensive lineman, right? And so I Barton at center to me is something that's been frustrating me for a bit. I think guard for sure, tackle I would play him at before I'd play him at center. I like Barton as they would draft him and be like, yeah, where he's going to be in our right guard competition from day one. But we also like the fact that he has outside experience. He can play outside. That's where I have him. I think Barton is an underrated dude in the league for sure. Amarius Mims is 6. I love Mims. He's so good. He's amazing. He's the biggest boy. He's the fastest boy. He's so excellent. I had such an unrealistically high film grade on him. And then I forced myself to watch more and be a little bit reasonable. The injury concerns are also the problem there, right? I think that from a developmental perspective, he's the most exciting tackle prospect outside of Joel and Fashanu, right? Kind of the top of that class. So you're expecting him to kind of sit for a year. And I do think that with the Eagles' uncertainty on the interior, prioritizing guys who might be able to play guard, I think is a smart thing to be doing at 22. But Mims, man, like, in Mailata and Mims. Oh, dude, Mailata and Mims. Dude, come on. Yeah. That the movement scales at 340 is really, really special. So I think Mims at 6. I wish I could have him higher. Absolutely, I love that. Talese Fuaga, I would put at 7. He's not their type. I don't think he's a heavy-footed road grader. I know I said Latham's a little bit heavy-footed. I think Fuaga is a little bit more of a plodding guy. He's nice on the second level, right? I mean, he's a absolute road paver. You run behind him. But they historically have asked their tackles to be much better movers, just more agile than Fuaga is. So I like Fuaga's a good player for what he is. It's just you the way the Eagles tend to run offense, yeah, I just don't think he's their type. So I wouldn't mind if they picked him. I just have some question marks about it. Good player, though. So Fuaga at 7. And then I have Kingsley Sumatia at 8. That's, like I said, that's my developmental guy there at the end of round one. I think the Sumatia is the name to know in terms of that he's going to go to the Ravens or the Chiefs, 31, 32. He's going to surprise people. I have Jordan Morgan at 9. I have Kieran Amagajay. I can't say his last name, the Yale kid. At 10, and then Taylor Guyton at 11. That's what I would put.
Whoa, okay. All right. So you're much lower on Guyton than most.
That's right off my board right there. I don't think Guyton's around one guy. I don't think Yale is around one guy, but that was just going off of my board.
Okay. All right. I like it. One thing with guards I was just going to mention here is that I'm generally don't take interior offensive linemen in the first round, and I still feel that way. I will say this. One thing, one of the biggest stories of like free agency was how much guards got paid. Right now, a top 10 guard on average is more expensive than a top 10 corner. Like, so it's kind of vaulted up the rankings a little bit in terms of league-wide how they're viewed. So I still would be like, I don't know about that. But something to keep in mind when a team does take a guard in the first round or whatever, I'm sure that's something they will reference. All right, what do you got? What's next? What's the next number?
Now is the time for five.
Five. Okay, good. Five has nothing to do with football. All right. This is, I need to apologize. Okay, so I was texting you about this. You know, I did a bad job the other night. I'm at elementary school art show. I'm walking the hallways and a gentleman comes up, a listener, you might be listening right now, the gentleman, and says, "No Solak?" And I'm caught off guard. I'm not in like podcasting ringer mode at that point. So I say, "What?" And he says, "No Solak?" Now at that point, see, this is where I'm kicking myself. I should have been like, "Oh, okay. All right. Listener, you know, funny way to kind of say hello. I should introduce myself." But slow processing, you know, we rip some of these.
Bad on the field.
Yeah. You can't recognize the stunts and twists. Quarterbacks can't get to the backside dig. That was me in this spot. I respond Solak with, "No, he's in Michigan." What was my response? What a terrible response is that? I mean, Cliff's dying. A terrible to which the guy responds, "Yeah, I know." And that was the interaction. That's the whole
thing. You blew it, Chill.
I blew it. So to the man listening, I apologize. But I hope I didn't come off, you know, standoffish or anything. I was just, but my mind was not processing. So I hope to see this gentleman at a future school event, at which time I can make a proper introduction and say thank you to for listening to either Philly Special or Extra Point Taken. So bad job out of me there, Solak.
Easier solution, bring me to all future school events. I'll fly down, all right? I'll go to elementary arts, check everything out, and then you and I will be together, and it'll be very clear who you and I both are and what we're up to.
Listen, I said when I went on vacation and, you know, literally someone is saying, "Say hi to Solak for me." Like, I need shirts that just say, like, "I know Ben Solak," or "Where is Ben Solak?" Something with your name on it that I can just wear around. And that way, you know, it's an easy in for some of these introductions. But I love meeting listeners.
You have a shirt that says team content. I'm going to send you a shirt that has my face on it. And then I'm going to get a shirt for me that has your face on it. And then anytime we go to like an airport or a train station, any major resort area, just wear those around. Make it very clear what the pairing typically is.
I know you're joking. I would 100% be happy. I would wear that everywhere. It would make it easy for, you know, some of these introductions. People aren't sure. Yeah, it looks like a bald-headed Indian guy who, you know, we kind of might be listening to, but I'm not sure. If I'm wearing the shirt, then they know. So there you go. Bad job by me. Again, to the gentleman, I will see you at a future school event and I will do better. All right. That was five. You know, we got to get one of those in here for all these. All right. What's your next one?
Okay, so we have 2 and 8 remaining. So obviously 8, and then finish it up with 2.
All right, 8, a positive. What is a somewhat realistic first round outcome for the Eagles that you would love, that you would get on here and Thursday night and so say, "Oh baby, Howie season, he did it again, my big boy son," or whatever the other thing. It doesn't have to be a big boy, but something like that, that would just have you over the moon, that this is the best case scenario for the Philadelphia Eagles. It could be a trade up, it could be a trade back, it could be a player they just sit at 22, the guy falls unexpectedly and they take him, that you would just be like, "All right, I'm giving this first round an A for the Eagles." What do you got?
I think if they stay at 22 and they take DeGene, I'll be really excited. I think that'd be such
okay.
That'd be fun.
That's thing. Very realistic, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was the prompt, right? It was realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, they trade for the top 10 and they get Joel. Like, woo! I think they're in a good position to start the second run on corners, right? Start the second tier on corners. I do think that, like, while I would take Quinny Mitchell top 10, I would take Terry Arnold top 10. If you look at like current NFL draft odds, those guys are not expected to be top 10 picks. So I do think the top of the corner class is going to make it into the teens. It's going to make it to like Indy at 15. There's not going to be a big desire to trade up. They can reasonably stay at 22 and think that DeGene will fall to them. I think that they will think of DeGene as a corner. They tend to be like, "All right, like 6'205" can jump, you're a corner." Like they with Rasul Douglas, they said, "You're going to be a corner. We're going to try this for a long time." And then obviously they never developed him, and then he went elsewhere and he developed, and I'm not still salty about that. So DeGene, I think they'll think of him as a corner. I think that he would be valuable for them as corner too. I also think that they like the fact that they could walk into camp with Slay and Bradbury as the starting corners and say, "I think if Bradbury, you know, is healthy and he's 100%, or like, you know, if Keeley wins this job, or Isaiah Rogers wins this job, or Eli Ricks, then maybe we can play DeJean as like a nickel player, as a safety, as a box guy. Like, he has returner value to them. Like, there's just so much utility with that dude. And that tends to be the sort of guy that Howie Roseman likes. So to me, like, good, positive, reasonable outcome at 8 is just stay at 22, excuse me, is just stay and take DeJean.
I could also see Fangio loving DeJean, right? I mean, he yeah. seems like he would fit him perfectly. Like, you don't have to worry about, I mean, he is just a very good tackler. He's physical. Like, there was a rep I watched where he just like punched the wide receiver, fell to the ground with, like, it's almost like those George Pickens blocking reps when he was coming out, that I was like, oh my God, I love this guy. He had one of those in there. You can do different things with him. If you want to play him in the slot and you think you want him, someone who can just like stick their nose in there, he can do that. He gives you safety. So I think that's a good one. I had a hard time with this. Honestly, this is a hard draft for me, where I'm normally the guys just jump off the page where I'm like, this is an Eagles guy. I like him. They're going to like him. They're going to pick him. I had a hard time. So I said a slight trade up where either Terrion Arnold or J.C. Latham drops to, let's say, 18. You move up 4 spots. You give up a day 3 pick and you get someone who is a very good prospect with Arnold. Again, it would be a guy who can hopefully come in for you, play corner right away. No guarantees. We know that. These are all dice rolls, but I think he's got all the things you would look for in a corner, not only for this scheme, but if you change schemes, I think he's fine there. He's young. He's from a big-time program. I like the personnel. I like everything about Terrion Arnold. So if you can get him, that's great. J.C. Latham, again, same thing. Comes in right away. Fills your need at right guard. You've got your Lane Johnson replacement. You've shored up a spot on the offensive line. Your depth is better because now Tyler Steen is a backup. I think that would be a nice move too. So that was my best case scenario, where if they did one of those, again, slight move up. I'm not saying you go up to 14. I'm saying 18, 19. It's mm-hmm. like, oh shoot, one of our last guys in our tier is falling. Let's give up a 4th round pick, third round pick, whatever it might be. Go up and get them. That would be my best realistic first round outcome for the Philadelphia Eagles. There you go.
I strongly agree that this is a really tough draft to prognosticate. I have far less money down on bets and total bets down than I typically do, which, like, that's not even like, funny Ben thing. No, like, that's a real that's a real proxy for my level of confidence in terms of like what's going to happen. Everything is a moving target, man. Like, it's just I was thinking about this the other day. The Bears are staying at 1 and taking a quarterback. The Commanders are staying at 2 and taking a quarterback. 3 might move. 4 might move. 5 might move. 6 might move. 7 might move. 8 might move. 9 might move. The Jets at 10 might move. Like, who's picking where whom? Like, it is a very, 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 very hard draft to nail down. And so to me, like, the Eagles are actually in a really good spot, because I think introducing uncertainty on draft night favors general managers like Howie, who tend to have a really good paradigm for, like, this is how I want to trade. This is how I want to build the team. I think a lot less likely to do a Joe Douglas, like, wait, Jermaine Johnson's falling? Like, let's go get him. Like, you know, I think they're in a better position to be reactive in a smart way. So I think it does favor Howie. But, like, if you, odds right now, Shield, you would say, I'd say the percent chance the Eagles pick at 22, what would you put it at?
I mean, history would just tell us it's not going to happen. Like, for right. other teams, you would say it's got to be over 50% just because of how few trip. But for the Eagles, I mean, yeah, I would say under 50. I know 40%. That could be totally wrong. I don't have a good, like, baseline here, but
I say I have it at 30. I have it at 35%. Okay. Right? All right. But then the other thing is, right, with their positional scarcity is corner, linebacker, and safety. That's two positions where there's no round one players. Then the third position where they've never taken a round one guys is like 2004. Right? And there's all these offensive linemen, and they always take it. It's very challenging, man. It is a hard, hard draft to prognosticate.
Yeah, usually I'm used to this time of year, someone, you know, mocking a running back or a linebacker to the Eagles, and then all of us getting all upset, like, do you not know this team? You can't even do that this year, because there's no guys that would even be within range for them to take. All right, this leads us. Great one to end on. Number 2. Who are the 3 prospects most likely to land with the Eagles if they do stay at 22, the 40% chance that you mentioned? I can lead us off here, because you just mentioned this guy. And I've got Cooper DeJean as one of my 3 for sure. We've talked about him a lot during this podcast. I just think need, checks boxes that they like, coaching staff will like, all those things. So yeah, I think, and also guy who I think there's a strong chance he's available at 22. So Cooper DeJean, the corner from Iowa, is my first guy? Who's your first guy if they stay at 22 that they could take?
Dejean is definitely one. I would say Amarius Mims is two. I think that
got him on my list.
I think that's the Mims range. Three for me is Troy Fontenot out of Washington. Those are the if you made me put all of the marbles right now on one of the on three players, one of them becoming an Eagle, those would be the three that I would take. Troy Fontenot, Amarius Mims, Cooper Dejean.
Okay, I've got Dejean. I've got Mims. We talked about it. And you know what, Solak? I decided to throw in a little wild card with my third one for team content. A guy whose name we have not mentioned this entire podcast, Solak. If Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver from LSU, do you like him or do you not like him? I forget.
Love him. Then I take him.
Okay. If he falls to 22 and they look around and say, we got to stick to the board. Our needs today are not our needs tomorrow. We believe in building the passing game. We believe in putting Jalen Hurts in position to succeed. Those who don't know this guy, 6'3", 209, ran a 4.33, 38.5-inch vertical. But he is not just a measurables guy. I thought, I was pretty blown away by him on film. Now, it's 1 year of production, okay? So 68 catches for 1,177 yards and 17 touchdowns last season. 17 touchdowns is the most for a, I believe, SEC or Power 5 receiver since your boy Devontae Smith in 2020. He averaged 17.3 yards per reception. He can run away from guys. He can break tackles. He's a late separator. He's way shiftier than you would expect a 6'3" guy to be. He's a deep threat. His flying 20, which is the last 20 yards of your 40, was the fastest of any wide receiver at the combine. So, all right. So some of you are listening to this thing. All right, Gio, that's all fine, but shut up. We got Devontae Smith and AJ Brown. So here I'll do my Howie Roseman impression. They draft Brian Thomas Jr. And so he'll say the things I just said about your needs today are not your needs tomorrow. We like to stick to our board. We found in the past when we reach for a position, that's when we make mistakes. And then someone, Sid McManus, will say, all right, I understand that. But is Brian Thomas Jr. going to get on the field as a rookie? And then Nick Sirianni says, I'll take this one. Devontae Smith has been great for us in the slot. Last year, he had almost 500 yards from the slot. I don't think people realize that. 2022, he had over 500 yards from the slot. That ranked 11th in the NFL. We don't want anyone to get injured. Those have been durable players, but God forbid we suffer an injury. We don't want to be stuck, with someone we can't rely on. And we like the depth guys, but Brian Thomas Jr. just adds another element here. So now we're putting AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, Brian Thomas Jr., Dallas Goedert, Saquon Barkley on the field together. We think that's going to be really, really hard to defend. And so that's why we made this pick. Dola, what do you think?
Howie, question here from Ben Solak from the Ringer. What? How many times you throw the football, Howard? What is our target distribution looking like?
Well, listen, that's a good question, but these are unselfish players. We know that.
Oh yeah. We told Brian when we drafted the top 20 pick after he had 17 touchdowns. Yes, he's going to get 17 total targets this season.
Yes, yes.
Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers are going to get Jaden Daniels drafted top 5. Those two boys can play. I just finished charting Daniels. Goodness gracious, Brian Thomas is good, man. He is absolutely, without question, the best of the rest at wide receiver. The top three, Malik Marvin and Rome, and then Brian Thomas, man. Colts at 15. All right,
and it wouldn't be crazy if 3 years from now we're he was better than those, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. Is the safest guy. But yeah, I mean, he has real upside, where you could see him just being absolute monster.
Explosiveness.
In the NFL. Yeah. So I wanted to throw a little wrinkle in there, bring up a name we haven't mentioned. I'm with you. I would be that would be another one. We're like, oh boy, how is this going to work? How are they making? And you got to make sure you got Devontae Smith that new contract before you make that pick. By the way, Howie, little advice for me. I don't want that situation unresolved. And then you bring Brian Thomas Jr. in and you're saying, no, Nick Sirianni, he can handle this situation. So there you go. That's my third guy. All right. That was a lot of fun. You can listen to Solak on the Ringer Draft Show. Check that out. We're doing Extra Point Taken still twice a week, talking all league-wide stuff. Next week, Solak's going to come on. We're talking day two, guys. Week after that, we're doing our 7-round mocks. I'll be mixing in some other stuff here and there, also in between those shows. Don't forget, a little 5-star rating on Spotify. Get that in. Thank you to Ace Producer Cliff Augustine. Thank you to Benjamin Solak. We'll talk to you next time on the Ringers Philly Special. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and Vermont. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700, or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.